Okay, we'll call this meeting of the Pacific City Joint Water Sanitary Authority Board of Directors Business Meeting to order. The rules of conduct: all cell phones, pagers, and other mobile communication devices must be turned off or silenced for the duration of the meeting. All persons in attendance will remain quiet during the course of the meeting unless called upon to comment. Refrain from any behavior that disturbs, disrupts, or otherwise impedes the orderly conduct of the meeting, to include shouting, booing, hissing, etc. Refrain from creating, provoking, or participating in any type of disturbance involving unwelcome physical contact. Be asked to leave the room to conduct side discussions and refrain from any speech of a political nature. All right, roll call. Director Price.
Here.
Director Anderson.
Here.
I'm Director Donahue. One other director, Director Strotska, is not present. We do have a quorum. All right, the minutes of August 13th, 2024 business meeting. Do we have any comments, corrections?
I don't think so.
Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
I move that we accept the August 13th, 2024 business meeting minutes.
I will second.
We have a motion and a second. No further discussion. All those in favor of accepting the minutes, signify aye.
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous. Motion carry. The financial report, accounts payable for August 6th, August 15th, and August 31st of 2024. Are there any comments or at all?
Not for me.
No. I actually have a couple of questions. I apologize. I didn't have time to call in today. I've been pretty busy. As I get this thing,
there you
the half hour ready. Okay, on August 15th, we had $10,250 payments and two payments to Cascade Water Works LLC for valve rebuilds. What kind of valves are we talking about?
Those are our altitude valves. They're smart valves. They're quite complicated. Have a lot of tubes coming in and out of them. There are altitude valves at, I believe this was at the 300K or was this the 100K?
This one might have been at the
100K.
We also did some PRVs at the same time, too.
Oh, okay,
so
okay.
I'm not sure if it was one of those.
Yeah. Do they have telemetry in them too, or
no? These valves don't have the telemetry, but they're very important. The pressure reducing valves, as you guys know, are what creates our pressure zones in the system. They're also fairly complex valves. Certainly require people with expertise to rebuild them. And the altitude valves are the valves that sense the elevation in the reservoirs and help keep those reservoirs filled to the target level. And they are very complex valves, and that's why we certainly need outside services to rebuild those for us.
Also, okay, thank you. I saw the amount kind of caught my eye. I can see why now. Okay, on August 15th, we had a $7,390 check made out to Fields Home Care, and it was well house rebuilds. My question is whether I thought we were going to have the generator buildings. So,
yeah, I can explain that. So, at our well sites, and as you know, we've got three dune wells, we've got three spit wells. These wells have a variety of structures on them that house our well pumps, our well pump controllers, our hypochlorite chlorination systems. And currently, we only have one generator shack in place now. I think the board recalls that, I'm supposed to get it tomorrow, that we've got Parametrics working on a design for our generator enclosures so that we can keep our generators permanently housed at the location we need them. This is more for all the other buildings that have begun to rot and away and fall apart. So these are repairs to the buildings, new roofs on those structures, and those buildings have been there a long time. The roofs are the plywood underneath the metal is actually rotting away. The siding on the buildings is actually rotting away, and these are to rebuild those structures that house all these all the equipment we need at each wellhead. It's a separate issue from the generator buildings that we do have a generator building at the Dune Wells. We don't have one at the Spit Wells, and I think they might be doing a little bit of work on the one on the Dune Wells, but I'm not 100%
sure. Yeah,
I think
it's just like fascia boards.
How did that go with BLM or who owns
Parks?
I'm working
State
Parks. Yeah, I'm working with State Parks I've approached them about putting a generator shack and housing a generator down at our Spitwell, one of our Spitwell locations down there. One generator, the way it's wired in, is one emergency generator at, I call it Spitwell number 2. I think it's actually well number 5 in our whole system. But one generator there will power all 3 wells down there. And it's the same with the Dune Wells, is one generator will power all 3 wells. And working with State Parks to revise our well agreement to allow for a structure like this. And the preliminary indications are is they're willing to work with us. They're concerned about a variety of things. You know, it's a state park. They don't want a whole lot of noise. They don't want structures that take up too big of a footprint. They seem to be receptive at this point. That was the thing I had mentioned in my manager's report.
Okay.
So two different issues, though. That I just wanted to make that clear.
Okay. Skillright Buildings, the roof on the west shop, is that a steel roof you put on there? Or?
It is. It's a steel roof. This is our west shop. The original roof, they didn't install any lighting in the shop. Instead, they installed these plexiglass type of skylights on the roof. Every one of them is leaking and leaking horribly. So we're putting a new roof on that shop. We're doing away with the sun windows, and we're actually installing electrical lighting in them. So that's what that is for.
And the generator repair for the wastewater treatment plant, that was a pretty good chunk of change too, about $5,811. That's a big generator you got in there.
It's a very large generator, a very critical generator, and it was in need of repair. Something happened with the controller. We got it troubleshooted. We got the parts. We got it fixed. There were a few days there where we had no generator there, and we were
kind of important.
Kind of important. Mm-hmm. And one thing about anything having to do with these gen sets, especially these very large ones, mm-hmm. The parts and the repair services are always quite expensive.
Okay.
But we're back in business.
Well, I'm glad we found that out. Okay, we, I don't have any other comments or questions. Anybody else? Not an entertaining motion.
I'll move that we approve the accounts payable for August 6th, August 15th, and August 31st of 2024.
I'll second that. All those, if no further discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous. Motion carried. Fiscal year 24-25, our general ledger, I had, looks like we're right on schedule, but I did have one thing that caught my eye, and I'll be a son of a gun, it was mentioned in the audit report. And budgeting, our bonded debt fund, which we had merged with our 002 fund, so that's correct. Well, here I notice under, in the 003 fund, bonded debt, under expenses, I saw material and supplies expenses called short-lived assets. We spent $5,800 there, and we had budgeted zero for it. What was that for? $5,811 under short-lived assets.
I'm hoping Rochelle can help because I'm drawing a blank on that one, Tom.
I know that's a...
I'm going to have to look at that because it's supposed to, this year, it all got moved to 004.
Per the auditors, they want it to be in 004 because it is a wastewater loan. And so they want it to be
And it was required by the bond.
It is required by our bond to have a short-lived assets and budget for short-lived assets. So in 004, we do have a short-lived assets line that does have a budgeted amount. Not sure why that 5811 is in 003, but I will have to look into that tomorrow.
Okay, because it was, came in. There was a mention of short-lived assets in the 2023 audit. I was going to bring that up later, but it caught my eye, and it was just, what the heck is that? So it was actually destined for 004, is that correct?
Yes.
All right. That stupid computer. Any other comments about the general ledger? Other than that, I can say it looks like we're well under budget so far, but we just started, too, the year. Okay, we'll go to item six. Yeah, right on time. Manager's report.
Thanks, Tom.
We do have a guest.
Oh, yes. We have Tim is here with us on remote.
Oh, thank you.
Yep,
oh.
Yep. I just wanted to make sure that... yeah, we usually try to announce that. Oh, and Jeb Pippinger just joined, too. So.
And Max is here.
Oh, well, and we have a guest in the audience as well. Yes. And Max is here, Max Shoemaker. And we are expecting one more of our employees as soon as they end their shift. And we'll see if they show up. So.
I don't know if you got a chance to sign in back there on the guest list.
I haven't signed in.
Before you leave, that'd be great. Thanks.
Okay, are we on to the manager's report? Did you cue me? Okay. Thank you, Tom. And it's interesting that the two AP items you asked about, in hindsight, I should have added those under the maintenance section of the manager's report, but I was going to mention those, and you gave me an opportunity to do so, Tom. So we've got a lot of things going on. You know, we've talked about the generator enclosures that are 100K or 300K and the spill wells, the roof on the west shop, the refurbishing of the other structures we have at our wellhead locations. So you know, we're I think we're juggling a lot of things. We're keeping busy. Wanted to mention again, just a reminder about the proposed final order for our Horn Creek water use permit extension. The comment period, just a reminder, ends on September 20th, which is only 10 days. I'm not aware of any comments that were received or any objections. But I'm also not aware if they would notify me about them as they come in either. Okay. So we'll have to wait, but we aren't really expecting any, but we've still got 10 days until we know for sure, and I will be sure to keep the board posted about that. Thank you. Speaking of the shop buildings, it was last week that they Iconopro came and did the work, right?
Yeah.
So we now have intrusion alarms and motion detectors in a couple of our buildings that we previously did not, and I think that is a welcome addition. Wanted to mention that. We still have a vacant operator position. We haven't been able to generate a lot of response to that, but we're hoping that will change soon. And other than that, that's really about all I got for the manager's report this month, Tom.
Thank you, John. Okay, any comments from anyone? Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll move on. Item 7, unfinished business, the way survey. I did have some time to really look at this very closely, and this is a real nice piece of work, John. You guys, you and Rochelle, did a magnificent job with this. It brought up a lot of interesting things that has even surprised you, didn't it?
It did. It did.
So why don't you give us a rundown of what you guys really found?
Well, I think in general, well, just to back up just a bit here, at the board's request, we did identify locations to use for the study that I think pretty much span the whole range of possibilities. I'm pleased to see that we've included a lot of coastal communities, a lot of communities in Tillamook County, a lot of our neighboring communities, communities that are, you know, roughly the same size as us.
Can I ask you what this KGBLB is?
Where
it is.
Glenegan Beach.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a water. It's a water district. We did pull in several special districts, just to check and see what those folks were doing. There's not a lot of water and sanitary combined special districts in Oregon, but we did include one from Roseburg that is roughly, well, their service area and population is roughly twice our size, but we felt it was a good comparable just because they're exactly like us. They're a combined water and sanitary authority. We pulled in other special districts. I mentioned the coastal communities, but we also pulled in
green area. Okay, that's the one that's in Roseburg.
It's Kernville, Glenegan Beach, Lincoln Beach Water District.
Lincoln Beach. Okay, but this the one you're speaking of is called green area.
That's green area.
That's in the near Roseburg.
That's correct. But we also pulled in some of the larger communities as well, just to kind of see what they're. Where they came in at. I believe it was McMinnville, Forest Grove, Albany, was it Salem?
Salem. There was a couple of special districts that are out by like Oregon City and Russia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're still special districts and they're still small, but they're also in a bigger city with more employees.
We, 6-8 months ago, whenever it was, we started, we hadn't done one of these evidently in a long time, and I was concerned that we might lose employees to higher paying areas. So for our guests online and here, that's why we wanted to take a look at this. I got to compliment you fellas and ladies on what the methodology was outstanding, and I think your suggestions for adjustments for our employees are well within reason. And I think I don't want to make an action item right now because one of our board members is gone. And I know that she was very, and she has a background in HR, and she was very interested in what we came up with. But she's out of the country at the time, this time, so we won't do anything about it until our next meeting. But once again, this is a magnificent job. Thank you very much, Rochelle and John.
Well, you're welcome. And just, unless I'm mistaken, she's not going to be at the October meeting either.
Right. Neither am I.
Well, we might have to wait to...
That's on the agenda for later, too. So,
yeah. So it'd be November would be the first time we could do something about that.
Yeah.
In terms of action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. We still have... that would kind of put us toward the first of the year before actual wage adjustments are made, which kind of works out with some of your annual stuff, doesn't it, John?
Well, most of our annual stuff is built on a fiscal year budget. But it's, you know, what it will probably allow is, I think we've got as I mentioned in the report, we have to kind of balance the fact that half the staff have already had their evals and merit increases for the year and the other half haven't. So the only potential difference might be is that somebody might,
in the meantime,
their evaluation may come due, and we may take care of that piece of it before any other types of adjustments. So it's no problem with us to push it down the road a bit. You know, mine and Rochelle's expectation was that the board would have more questions or more critiques. Yeah. So, you know,
I'm impressed to tell with it.
So it's good to know that, you know, we can wait without having to really do too much to it unless anybody has any suggestions.
Ann, you had a question?
I just have a thought because we do have a vacant position and we're trying to fill it. Mm-hmm. And we don't know the extent to which the salary range is affecting interest. My thought was that when Kathy gets back to town, we might, if we think it's important enough, schedule a special meeting for this purpose only. I don't think it would take very long. I think in the meantime, the two of you and Kathy could have a chance, if you needed to come into the office and sit down with these guys.
I agree.
I think
Kathy should take a look at it. I'm still a little concerned with the entry level, where the entry level ended up. Now, I understand that we're not as low as we thought maybe we would be, but I guess I'm still, I don't know that I'm satisfied, is that the right word, with just being in the middle range of that anyway. It's so expensive to live here. And so I think we need to look at that operator in training further.
Okay.
And I'd like to Kathy's input on that too. But and that's really where my kind of hang up is. I'm not sure I'm happy with just being in the middle, and I think maybe our operator in training needs to be a little higher. Or we aren't going to be able to recruit.
We just have to be a little careful about going too high, because then we have compression.
Then we push everybody else. I understand that too.
I spent some time talking with these guys in the office about all of this. Mm-hmm. And I highly recommend that anybody else on the board that wants to discuss the hows and whys and all that sort of thing, make time to do that, because they've got it way beyond what is on paper. They've got it in their heads, the methodology and the industry and everything else. So. Right.
I think that's a good idea too, but I think we do need to move forward with it. We can't, you know, I don't want to drag this on for a long
time.
Not
till November.
Well, it's very tight. It comes at a very interesting time, because I was just kind of thinking about it the other day. We've lost half a dozen employees in the last couple of years, and we only have 11 employees. So that's half our workforce in the last couple of years.
Turnover.
And I'm sure some of this turnover is because of this wage survey that we desperately needed to adjust, I think.
Right.
So it's very timely.
I agree.
If we have to call a special meeting, I'm okay with
that. Yeah, but I also understand that later on the agenda we're talking about maybe changing the October meeting anyway to a different date. So, I mean, maybe we could still make it happen in October if it's, if we change it from, I don't even know what's the first, anyway, to the next week or whatever. So.
Yeah. Well, and that's a good point, because with two board members I'll be gone.
Right.
You know, maybe we can make it a week later and still get everybody.
And right, and then maybe if we have that time to do something more, discuss more with the wage survey, we might be able to resolve it next month if we push that meeting out a week.
It's all right with the other with the rest of the board, I'd like to see Max come on next meeting if we want to vote on it.
Can you clarify the process in your mind?
Well, we have a month to look at Max's resume.
Yeah.
And then if we all like it, we could vote and have him on board next month.
I think that's not unlike how we did with Luann.
I think that's
right.
That's the way it was.
You can have the vote and then take the oath at the same time.
Yes.
And then take a seat.
Yeah, you just have to sit out there for the little first bit.
Until you take the oath.
And then you get to sit over here.
It's
musical chairs.
We've done it. The way.
But back to the wage survey thing. I think maybe if we can get it on the agenda for next month, that'd be great. If it can be that next week.
Yes, we can definitely.
Then you're here, I'm here, Kathy's here. And
Okay.
All right.
And depending on how this gets arranged, if we need to, you know, if we need to get Max a copy of things in advance, we can do that too. So.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
The public record. So the board packets are public.
Possibly
records,
even send him via email the board packet from this meeting, so he kind of catches up.
Yeah, it's
all public.
It's all public.
So. It's all public stuff anyway.
Okay,
there he is.
Very good.
Hey, Jason.
Hey.
Hey, howdy.
Everybody remember Jason?
Good to see you from the potluck.
Yeah. Welcome. All right, new business. Water sewer availability requests, John?
Yeah, we got a request for water and sewer availability from someone who is interested in developing the piece of property on the side of, next to the river house down on Broad.
Between the river house and the
and
marina.
The Stuck Adventures.
And what they're looking at doing is putting in what they're calling six apartment units. They are, of course, working with the county to get all the permits and stuff that they will require from the county to move this forward. But what the county typically requires very early in the process is an availability letter from us. And so this is always one of the first steps in a proposed development is securing the availability of water and sewer to the development. And because this is a multifamily This is something beyond just a single-family dwelling. It requires board approval to grant that water and sewer availability letter. How this works is, you know, the board typically grants approval, and then the next day I draft the letter and get it sent out. And so this is somebody, I did actually contact this person to see if they might be available to sit in at the meeting tonight. They are out of town, but they did offer a phone number if anybody has any questions. But I told them.
Is this the builder or the developer?
This is the developer slash property owner, is my understanding.
Okay.
And so.
So, yes. Just so I understand, so they would get this approval from us prior to actually getting the permit from the county?
Right. They need approval from us before the county will even issue them a building permit.
Okay. Because the county needs to know that water and sewer are available before they even read the application.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the application for the actual service, whole different process.
Okay.
Well, and of course, the location, the development permit will take the most time.
That's going to take a while.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
So, you know, this person has some hoops to jump through with the county, but he's wanting to get the ball rolling. Mm-hmm. Seems very motivated, seems very prepared. And so we just need to get water and sewer availability to him if the board feels as though they can approve.
This was for two step systems, and those are available, and we can do this.
Yes, one of the challenges about this location is limited space.
Right.
And step systems take up space. In a perfect world, this would have six individual step systems, but that won't work here. What we will do is we'll put in two duplex step systems. That means dual pump, and have three units go to one and three units go to the other. And I envision that the actual step systems will be on each side of the building, of the complex, and but they will, you know, they'll still have the same system development charges for six units, water and sewer. They are requesting, and I think this is a good fit, especially based off of the zoning, the classification, or at least what the project is being called both by the county and by the developer. He's made a request that he feels that this these units at the apartment rate would be appropriate. And I concur with him. You know, that's probably another decision that has to be finalized, whether we do that tonight or not. But the most important thing is the approval just for the availability, which is a whole separate issue of itself. When you talk about water and sewer availability, right, they're asking a question of us is, does our system have the water and sewer capacity to add this development to our service area? And the answer to that question is yes.
In that case, I make a motion that the board approve and John write a letter for water sewer availability for the, what's it called?
River's Edge Apartments.
River's
Edge.
Okay, I'm still looking for it. River's Edge Apartments. There's the product.
Okay, I'll second that.
There are no other comments. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Unanimous vote. All right. Internal manager training proposal. John, why don't you start, and I might throw my two cents in.
Yeah, I'd like you to give your thoughts about it for sure, Tom. During my annual review, there was some thought about my eventual retirement and some speculation on what might occur thereafter. I know that we'll have internal and external candidates interested in the position when the time comes. Based off of some recommendations for staff development by our HR consultant, I wanted, you know, after talking, you know, to you too, Tom, that this type of thing, although we aren't, you know, we aren't making any promises, no decisions are being made, this is all very premature in terms of my eventual retirement, but there is some thought that some leadership training, internal leadership training for our staff would be beneficial to the staff, not just for those potentially interested in advancement opportunities, but this type of training is always valuable. And, you know, it's valuable for our staff here. It's valuable for people that our work here now and maybe in the future may decide to go to work for somebody else. This training is valuable, and it'll follow these people wherever they go. And this is a pretty, you know, a pretty good professional growth proposal potential for our internal staff now, for those that might be interested in it. It wouldn't be a mandatory thing. It would be an optional thing. My understanding, and I haven't nailed this down completely, but my understanding is the courses that our HR representative identified as possible good fits for our operation and for our staff are being offered by a company that is in business just to create trainings like this. And so our HR representative recommended a particular company. She recommended some particular trainings. And, you know, I just thought that maybe it's something the board would like to discuss and consider.
Well, my thoughts are that we've always wanted to have an assistant manager that would have be here long enough to be trained by you. But to get to that assistant manager area, this person would have to have a lot of management training to go along with it. So any kind of training any employees are interested in this program we're talking about, they're an hour to an hour and a half courses that can be done over the computer. And I don't see any reason why we wouldn't allow that to happen here while at work. Do you think that's a reasonable idea, John? Could you take these courses look like about, they recommended enough that would be close to around 6 months, somewhere in there, so they'd need an hour a week or something, or an hour and a half a week?
Oh, I think based off the number of courses that were highlighted and the fact that I think they average about an hour and a half, if an employee did one a week, I think they could get through probably most of them within, you know, a six-month period, mm-hmm. certainly. The question becomes, and I know there'll be some variety of opinions about it, this is training that's not necessarily crucial to their roles today, but it's crucial to their development. And with that in mind, I wonder if for, you know, certainly certifications and CEUs to maintain their licenses as part of their job is certainly something that we would cover financially. It's training that we often send our employees to short schools and so forth. We pay them for their time. We pay for the registration fees. this type of training is not necessarily critical to their daily jobs now. So the question of whether we'd allow them work time to do it or whether the expectation would be that it would have to be done on their own time, I would throw that out to the board to decide. But it may be a consideration, I guess, is all I'm saying.
Okay. The other thing I was thinking of is, okay, we want an assistant manager where you can train for around a year or so. This training would take about 6 months. The only thing I didn't like about her suggestions, I saw about three or four other courses that I think would be beneficial. And I would recommend we kind of look at those before we make any final decisions.
And SDAO does offer leadership training too. I don't think they have quite this many offerings, but SDAO is another resource for that type.
Well,
of
we could I would entertain we look at that too, because SDAO is somebody we work
some
with.
Some of already members of that.
And some of those classes are pretty good, from what I understand. Yeah.
Well, I've taken a few myself.
Should explore that.
Huh?
We should explore SDAO.
We probably should, yeah.
Yeah, because that's something she might not have been familiar with at all.
And we're talking about this is going to be optional, volunteer. We're not going to say everybody has to do this. No. Okay. I just want to make it clear.
But for your benefit, what I was thinking was a six-month training will allow you to, when we decide to have an assistant manager, you are qualified now to at least step into that position, and you'll have to compete with outside competition that we will publicly announce that we're looking for an assistant manager. But you know, I like the idea of promoting within. What's fair is fair. You got to understand you're going to have some competition. But your knowledge of internal affairs here, how our system works, actually gives you an advantage. But you got to give everybody a chance. But this is an opportunity if you're interested, and I think we ought to move on with it personally. Investigate it a little more, Ann.
I have some thoughts when you're finished.
Go ahead.
My first thought, because you started out with the concept of the assistant manager, we did create that concept a few years ago in terms of thinking that that was the natural solution to a succession plan. We never actually implemented it. It's been suggested several times that we remove the title altogether from the budget, which we haven't done because there's no money in it, it's not doing anything.
Right.
But through those years and those various discussions, I have some concerns about an organization this small being so top-heavy in senior management. And I would like to have further discussion about succession planning, how we would go about it exactly. I have reservations about what I hear as an undercurrent of having an assistant manager that would then become, and yes, they would apply like everybody else, but I think it's hard to avoid the psychology of the person in that position thinking I'm kind of a shoe-in here. And it's also hard, I think, for people outside the organization that might be applicants from Missouri or Maryland or California to think that, oh, well, it looks like there's a shoe in there, maybe I won't apply there.
Right.
So I think it's a lot bigger issue than just the technical part of offering classes, and I'll get to that in a minute. So in terms of succession planning, I'm not personally convinced that the assistant manager position is the right choice, right way to go about it. I also would like to see us reinstitute our regular discussions about succession planning. And I'm kind of thinking maybe in the run-up to the next budget cycle when we're talking about positions and budget and everything like that. Because we talk about the budget for several months, and I think if we could have a parallel serious discussion about succession planning and whether we want an assistant manager or is there some other approach that might serve us better. So none of that relates in any way, shape, or form to any current employee applying to be manager. And so these courses, I don't know how good they are, and I think the quality of them should be really carefully. I don't think we should just assume that these are great courses. Looking at some of the subject matter over my working life, I don't know how much I could learn about that individual subject in an hour and a half to make me a useful practitioner in that subject. So I do think it's worthwhile looking into SDAO because they work specifically with people like us, organizations like us. So I'm not personally prepared to jump on this bandwagon quite yet. It does seem, and I don't know if it's, $200 subscription rate sounds really great, but is that for each individual person or is that for the organization? And then we can use as much, you know, because if it's for the organization and it turns out to be something that we think is the quality of presentation that we want to get involved in and have available.
Maybe we could talk to the company and ask them to give us a couple of samples.
I think we should do a little more investigation on that and investigation on SDAO. And I do have some mixed feelings about doing things that are not related to your line responsibilities on company time. And as we have, and you were saying, we've always, not always, I think when you got here, we started having certification preparation and time spent and all that on the job time, which I think is a great change. And it's been good for everybody as far as I can tell. So that's a line responsibility that's required for that job.
Right.
I'm not sure a lot of these subjects are, and so I kind of have mixed feelings about staff time spent on things that aren't directly related to your job, not in terms of not wanting to see people do it, but I think if it's something that's not directly related to your job, maybe it makes more sense to have you do it on your own time. It's paid for. We have the subscription, so you don't pay anything for it. You just use your own time to do things that aren't directly related to your work. So that's another thought. So I've got a few things about the whole concept that I think I'd like to see fleshed out a little bit more before we just dive in and say yes. And I'm really hoping that we do have people working for the authority right now that do have that kind of long-term career interest in what goes on, and I want to do everything we can to encourage that, but I want to be realistic about this particular opportunity and what organizationally we want to see as a future.
All right. You have a comment?
I kind of feel the same way about the assistant manager position. I feel like I'm not sure that that's a good way to spend our money, even, you know, to have that there. Because we have so few employees, it's a pretty small workforce to have, you know, two that top heavy.
We could make it kind of an interim thing for training only. For example, a new guy just coming in doesn't know our deal. Yeah. He has to train with what we got, the equipment we got. He has to train about the employees.
The danger of that is that you're making a commitment to the person that you're going to be manager.
Right.
And I don't think that's appropriate to do because you get somebody that is not part of our organization, we don't know, and you install them in a position assuming they're going to be manager, what if you don't? What if it doesn't work out very well?
Yeah.
Then you've made a commitment that you really are not going to be pleased with. So I have that concern too.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. I don't disagree. I think, you know, we can't, you know, pick and choose and say, you know, I think that if somebody wants to work up through that and shows that initiative to do that, I think we should support it 100%. But I just, grooming is that, I don't feel good about that.
Well,
you know, I think it needs to be a personal progression for that person, and they want to do it.
How long do you think you would have to train your successor, John?
Well, if the intent of a system manager position is training to be my succession plan, and any other purpose wouldn't make sense to me. It would, you know, it would take a year. I think 6 months, potentially even 3 months would be okay. You know, it's, I guess in my mind, it's a shame to whether we have to commit to somebody eventually assuming my role by coming into this position, or potentially hire somebody to come in cold like I did.
Yeah, exactly.
And not know the operation.
You're still going to have a learning curve, no matter who it is.
Well, you have 30 some years of experience.
True.
And it still took you,
because every place is different.
6 months.
And originally, before you got here, the person that held the position before you had a honeymoon time available with the previous manager,
right.
And that was what we thought at the time was the best approach, is go ahead and hire the person that you've done the search, national search and everything, and arrange for a honeymoon period, 3 months, 6 months,
whatever,
where the previous manager is on call or in consultation with or something. I can't remember exactly how we tried to organize it.
That makes sense.
And so all I'm saying is, I'm going to come back to my bottom line. I think succession planning is a real serious, I've been through this twice already, and it's a very serious, very complicated experience.
And I think
it bears careful thought.
Yes, and some more.
And maybe
well, let me ask you point blank. You think we ought to make this kind of training available to our employees?
I think I said yes to that.
I wasn't sure.
For me, the point was, if it's not in the line responsibility of your job, do you do it on company time or your own time? And personally, my feeling is it should be done on the employee's personal time if it has nothing to do with the job that they occupy at the time.
Right.
If it's has direct relevance to the job, company time is great.
And I do think probably some of these trainings, maybe we can go back to the attorney, I forget her name, and see if she can at least get us some kind of a syllabus or something.
The company will give it. It's a profit-making organization that puts these together.
Yeah.
So
just something to make sure that it's something that we're really interested in. Maybe, and because, you know, if it's geared towards a big city or a bigger organization or something that's not really going to be relevant to our guys, I'm not sure.
Well, and all we really know at this point is this was something that our HR person recommended.
Yes.
I haven't looked at a single one of them.
Yeah.
I'm sure nobody else has.
Mm-hmm.
And there are lots of organizations like this that offer mm-hmm. these types of trainings.
I'm just not ready to bite on this particular suggestion until we do a little more homework.
Yeah.
Okay, if we have a consensus, then let's just table it for now.
Yeah.
Continue the discussion.
But let's remember to have those succession plan conversations.
We need to talk about it.
Later on when we feel the time is right, because it is an important concept. And just my humble opinion, an assistant manager position is not something we need full-time.
No.
So the question is, would this be something the board would consider only as part of a succession plan? But if you do that, then the implication is that person is going to get the position.
Right.
And, and one of the difficulties, and I know this firsthand, is somebody external who might be very well qualified but would have to relocate, probably isn't going to relocate for not understanding what's...
Not sure they're going to get the manager.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So
it's
a pretty complex situation.
Yeah, it is.
Well, I was thinking if we hire, we're looking for a manager, that training time, that 3 months or 6 months, their position at our organization would be the assistant manager for training.
I'm not sure that's not the right approach. But this is why
we need to talk.
We need focused conversation about succession planning.
Yeah.
And I believe the last time we did this, a couple times, we got some involvement from SDAO.
I think that would
in those discussions, and that was very, very helpful.
Yeah.
Clarifying, because they've got experience all over the area.
In order to potentially move voluntary internal leadership training, if we like the concept, how can I help to make a recommendation? Maybe I should sit in and take a couple of these courses and see what I think.
What you think? Yeah,
that's a good idea.
That's a great idea.
And then I can report back to the board next month.
Yeah,
that's a
good idea. I'll take some courses and I'll just give you my honest opinion
about
it.
Right.
And I was thinking about further Anne's suggestion to further explore SDAO's opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's good.
I mean, we do have the benefit of an HR person I think we trust recommending it, but like I said, none of us have seen it.
I know.
So if it's okay with the board, I'll sit in on a few of them.
I think that'd be great.
And let you guys know.
I don't have any
problem. Depending on how the subscription works, there are some in the financial area. Maybe Rochelle could give could go through and then see. And just in terms of preparation of the material and the quality of the information and the relevance to us and all those things.
Exactly.
Because I really do agree that we need leadership training. It's I think that's great.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if that'll be an action item to help us make a decision at a future meeting, I'm happy to do that and give you my opinion.
Sure.
Okay.
Excellent. Okay. Next item is C under new business, system development charge for mobile businesses.
Yes. As the board, I'm sure, recalls, last month we approved a new resolution that contained policies for connections to mobile businesses. That was approved by the board, but what we don't have we have not determined an SDC rate for that kind of connection. We now have a policy that allows it. We now have a policy that spells out our rules and regulations about it, but we don't have that financial side of it to kind of pair with the new policy. And so the question is, well, how do you determine something like this? And, of course, this is not the type of thing I don't think any of us would feel comfortable just picking a number out of the air. But I would suggest as a possibility that we simply adopt the same rates for mobile businesses that we have for an RV parking spot. And the reason I like that comparison is they're both on wheels, they're both about the same size. We'd be looking at about the same demands on our system for either unit. I think there are a lot of similarities between a mobile business and a RV. And I would recommend, my personal recommendation to the board is not only for legitimacy, but also, you know, because it just kind of seems like a good, simple solution, I would recommend that we just simply add mobile businesses to our rate resolution for RV parking spots. If that, and so that'd be my recommendation, but you know, I'd throw it out to the board. Obviously, I believe this is a board decision, and I'm interested in knowing what the board thinks about it.
Well, I think that's a very practical idea. So, personally, I'd entertain a motion.
I'll move.
I have a question.
So, if we, the assumption I'm hearing in your idea is that it's one mobile business, not a lot with five of them.
That's
what do we do in the case of a lot with five of them? Is it one SDC per unit?
Well, you bring up a good point because that's not the way the resolution is written.
No.
If a food truck pod were to be established on a, you know, on a currently undeveloped lot, the resolution is written that we would allow one service connection for water and sewer, one water and sewer SDC, but we would allow multiple food trucks to connect to that one connection. And it's done that way because
and the meter would be sized to accommodate five or three.
Well,
or,
and that is the trade-off is that...
And the SDCs are by meter size.
Are by meter size. So, mm-hmm. And for a typical food truck pod like you see in other locations, there's usually four or five of them, that's probably going to require a one-inch meter. Mm-hmm. And that is a way that might offset that. And actually the resolution was written with that in mind, although it is not so structured where we'd say three equals this size meter, six equals this size meter. So we don't have anything nailed down that specifically. But on the other hand, in an RV park, five spots are getting five separate SDCs.
Right.
So
that would be the fair thing to do for a food cart, a food pod thing,
right?
Because that's if we're basing it on the assumption of the RV park,
true.
And you've got
true.
Three mobile units
right.
or five mobile units. Each one of them has to pay an SDC
true.
And be separately metered.
Be separately metered. Separate water and sewer services.
So that's the model. Yeah. If we base it on an RV park, that would be the model.
Except that the difference in that case, and there is a little bit of a difference, is that they pay the SDCs per lot, but there's only one water meter to the whole RV park, and they just all piggyback onto the internal distribution system. For example, Kiwanda, I think they have 2 meters for that whole park.
Yes, but they paid for 35 individual spaces.
But they did pay for 35 individual spaces. So in that case, usually an SDC, is you think of it as a separate water and sewer connection with a separate meter, typically. So in that regard, and you bring up a good point, it may be a little more complicated than that. And one thing I might throw out is, if this is something the board, I don't have anybody wanting to pull the trigger on this right now, but we do have a consultant that created our SDC methodology for us. I could contact that consultant and ask their opinion on what an appropriate SDC would be for a mobile
business. I'm guessing
business.
They've run into this someplace else.
Yes.
Okay. So you don't have anybody right now that's asking. See, I was thinking maybe you did, and maybe we could just amend this policy just for one truck.
It's a resolution, and, though.
Yeah,
so
I know.
We have to redo a resolution.
Yeah.
Make any changes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know the resolution was, you know, the goal of the resolution was number one to try to be business friendly,
right,
and to realize that food trucks are often seasonal ventures.
Yeah,
food
yeah,
trucks
yeah.
are often experimental ventures in a community that's never had one. And my fear is that requiring full SDCs for every food truck in a food yes. truck pod, we might as well just outlaw it because
nobody's
going to do
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it would be
especially since the resolution allows
like $17,000 per unit
yeah.
and change.
The resolution allows a neighboring business to put a food truck, and they've already paid the SDCs. So why? And we are going to allow them to hook up to.
Well, that's the other
if the
side
meter's
of it.
Large enough.
If
to
the
accommodate.
Meter's large enough that. For you know these existing businesses that just want to supplement their business with a food truck, mm-hmm. that we would allow if they could connect in a plumbing code compliant way, we would allow them to just piggyback onto the business's water and sewer service. So you know there are some variations in the comparison, but I still can't come up with one that's even remotely as close as that. And of course, that leads us to have to either come up with one on our own,
yeah.
or try to get some professional
let's
advice.
Do that because it's these things are here in the economy,
yeah.
whether they're
okay.
here right now or not. They're here
yeah.
in the economy.
Yeah.
And they're
and we need to
a lot of
you
places
know,
are very successful, so I don't see it
encourage
never
that.
Happening here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I hate to
well,
say
it's a little more complicated than I anticipated.
Huh. Yeah. I mean it's the close by far the closest comparison we have in my opinion, but it's you know, as Ann points out, you know, when you break it down, there are still some variants.
Well, at least we don't have anybody knocking on the door right this
right.
minute.
No,
either,
no.
So.
I think we've got two of them that have been approved by the county. I just haven't seen them go in yet. Nobody's approached us yet, other than the people that approached us in the exploratory
right,
sense
yeah, right, right.
several months ago. So let me, I will see what our SDC okay. consultants can offer.
And I know how popular the notion is, but if we have to have a special meeting to make a decision because we want to provide a timely answer,
yeah.
then we
yeah.
can do that.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Okay, item D, October 2024 business meeting.
Yeah, I put this down. I've drawn a once in every 3 year hunt I would really like to go on. And I already know we've got two board members missing.
Right.
So I'm recommending that we do postpone the October business meeting. The question is are we ready to set a tentative proposed date for rescheduling?
Do we know Kathy's schedule?
I don't.
Do you know Kathy's schedule?
I don't know the details about when she's leaving or exactly when she'll be back.
So our well, I do.
You know when she's going back.
I know that, you know, we're both gone the 5th through the 10th of October. So if we did it the next week,
the 15th.
Which is the 15th, that would probably work. I think that would I'm almost sure that would work for, well, I know it would work for me, but
is
I don't know.
What day of the week is that?
That's Tuesday.
It's just the next Tuesday.
It's the next Tuesday.
1 week later.
So instead of being the second Tuesday, it's the third
your
Tuesday.
Your extracurricular activities?
I believe so. Let me open my calendar here. So I personally will be back on Monday the 14th.
Perfect.
Oh, well, no, I won't. That's a holiday.
It's a holiday. You'll be back on Monday.
Oh, it's a holiday. Oh.
I'll be back on Tuesday the 15th and be okay, back so, to normal work.
So will you prepare the board packet before you go?
Is that tight? That
and
too tight?
Change, make last-minute changes Monday night or, I mean, logistically, how's that going
That's
work?
A push there.
Well, you're going to need a little time to prepare. What do you think?
Because
about
you put so much time into preparing the packets.
Different day.
Okay. Well, here's the deal. The earliest I'll leave is on the 3rd, theoretically, and it'll require other people to get me stuff fast. Theoretically, I could have the board packet 3/4 of the way done by Thursday the 3rd, with the intent that if I could get just 1 or 2 days after I go back, I think I could pull it together, but I still got to give you guys time to review it. So,
right.
And unfortunately, it does take me a significant time, as it does Rochelle, to pull the board packet together. Is it out of the question to push it off till the next week? I know we don't want to delay it any longer than we have to.
Why can't we do it a day other than Tuesday?
Do it when?
A day other than Tuesday.
Like
because
Wednesday
that next Tuesday, that Tuesday the 22nd, I'm gone.
You're gone the 22nd.
I don't know about Kathy, but I know.
Well,
or like Thursday the 17th or Monday the 21st or it doesn't have to be a Tuesday, is I think what you're saying.
Yeah, I think if I could have at least till the 17th, you know, now factoring in the fact that, yes, I still have to pull everything together, I can do a lot of the work on the first couple days of the month. It would be helpful for me to have at least 1 day when I get back and then enough time for the board to review it ahead of the meeting. I think that if the board could turn the board packet this month was a lot to absorb.
Yes.
We don't have a whole lot of board packets that would take that long. If the board could turn it around in a few days instead of what we typically try to get to you on Thursday, and that's 5 days. Other than that, I would say that Monday the 21st would be ideal, because then I could use Thursday the 17th as my normal Thursday board packet submission day, and we might have the meeting just 1 day earlier than usual, a Monday.
Somebody
instead of
a Tuesday.
No, because I'm gone from the 18th to the 22nd.
Ooh.
I'm in Montana, so I...
Okay.
17th then?
I mean, the 17th of October would, I mean, that Thursday would probably work for me, which is, you know,
so
day before I leave, but
if
that's
we
okay.
Look at it like teamwork-wise,
yeah,
everybody's going to pitch in, we're going to get on that board packet as soon as we get it, and any
yeah.
questions we're going to ask before the board meeting and all
right,
that sort
right.
of thing, and you're going to push extra hard to get
I
the
will.
Thing to us so we can make that work.
I will.
And it's just going to be like...
Mm-hmm. It'll have
teamwork
to be
and it never happens, but it's going to happen once.
It'll have to be a quick turnaround. Yeah, if we could do it on the 17th with the intention, I get the board packet to you by close of business on the 15th.
Yeah.
Is that enough time?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think we just have to make it work.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So well, let's plan on that then.
On the 17th.
On the 17th of October, which is a Thursday.
Five o'clock right here, huh?
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Guest questions and comments. Does anybody have a comment?
Actually, I've been just listening. Taking this all in.
He hasn't left the room yet, anyway.
I'm not so impressed on how you guys work together. It's going very smoothly.
Well, thank you.
Dale, Casey, any?
No.
I don't, Tim and Jeb still have their microphones muted. So it doesn't look like we have any questions.
All righty. Chair Director comments. I have a couple comments I'd like to make about the audit for 2023. It was a very good audit. We only had a couple of minor things. Auditors, I noticed they always got to pick on something. They got to find something. But I'm reading the adjacent letter, the results of the audit here. Federal awards, we found no issues of noncompliance and no questioned costs. We have responsibility to review these programs and give our opinion on the schedule expenditures of federal awards and tests of the internal control system. Compliance with laws and regulations and general specific requirements mandated by the various awards. They found nothing there. The only thing, and that's good news because that's complicated, you know, those kinds of funds are extremely complicated to deal with. There are also state minimum standards. We found no exceptions or issues requiring comment except for the items noted on page 3334 of the financial report. And let me see, where did I find it? There are no time stamps to show a website notice ran for 10 continuous days prior to the scheduled, rescheduled meeting dates, and the published newspaper notice only included the authority's general website address rather than specific internet website URL address at which the online notice was posted. You forgot to put https://:// Yike, these guys were really
thick. They have to pick on something.
This was another one that I picked up. This is 23 now. This is not.
Yeah, we're working on 24.
The debt service fund, which is what we found, incorrectly included appropriations for items other than debt service expenditures, including materials and services and operating contingencies.
Yeah, which is why we've now moved it over to 004.
Right. And the debt service fund incorrectly included a short-lived asset replacement reserve. But other than that, they were pretty picky about that. But by and large, they found nothing incorrect. So that says a great deal to your prowess and your ability to maintain a good budget. So thank you both. That's an excellent audit.
Great job, you guys.
Yeah. Well done.
Here. I would just add for the public record for the meeting that document that you were just discussing, which was not on the agenda, is available at the office for public review.
I believe, I don't know if I have it on the web yet, but
it will be on the web under important documents.
Yes, all of our financials.
All of our financials are there. Web. So.
That timestamp on the website.
That one's kind of hard because our website doesn't necessarily do timestamps, but I can do
have a clock on
it. Or a print screen.
If it has a clock on it or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, like I say, that's pretty picky. So I'm not
we'll
too worried about
out.
It. Are there any other comments, Ann? Lynn?
No.
Okay, well, if that's the case, it is. Oh, I did have.
6:18.
Okay, thank you.
6:18.
We are adjourned at 6:18. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.